A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
For the season with the best team in football. I was looking forward to that Niners Baltimore game, and on their home field to get destroyed the way they did.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Thursday, January 25th. 2024. Not a good sign that I'm already forgetting the days of the week. I am Paul Gallant. This is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston by phone, 713-780-3776. By text, that same number on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes Behind the Glass. You can also join us on our brand spanking new YouTube live stream at ESPN Houston. You got comments? I'm going to bring them aboard. Now, I wanted to open the show talking about conference championship weekend. Obviously, there's no Houston Texans. It's going to be in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs and Baltimore Ravens. In the NFC, it's going to be the Detroit Lions and the San Francisco 49ers. I've been having a lot of fun over the last couple of days trolling Ravens fans. It's all I have. And it's been helping with our social numbers. If you say something that you don't 100% believe in, you just drop a big old fart on the internet and just let it waft all over and drive people insane. That's how you become a star. So I'm going to try to do this with something I heard from Lamar Jackson talking about this upcoming matchup with Patrick Mahomes.
I don't like competing against him at all. but, yeah, I mean, he's a great quarterback. Definitely a Hall of Famer. It's a no-brainer. He's definitely a Hall of Famer. But it's just two greats, up-and-coming greats, just going toe-to-toe, you know, like a heavyweight fight. Heavyweight matchup. That's just what I see.
Lamar Jackson doesn't even want to compete against Patrick Mahomes? I mean, pathetic. Soft. Now, if you're watching on our ESPN Houston channel, I'm about to put on a prop. I've been told by my friends that these sunglasses make me look like I'm a Make America Great Again guy. And I think if I continue this take, roasting Lamar Jackson, and then post this on social media later, we're going to get the necessary clicks and views to make this show the afternoon show. Now, let's start, okay? I'm going to get in character. I can't believe this Lamar Jackson guy. I mean, you know, when Bill Polian said that he should play wide receiver or running back, I 100% believe him. This man don't have the compete level of someone like a Nathan Peterman. He don't have the compete level of Brock Osweiler. This is the kind of guy that ain't no A.J. McCarron. This man don't want to play. This man don't want to ball. And that means on Sunday, he's going to fall. So there you go. We're cosplaying here. Sean Mapes, grade that. Grade my anti-Lamar Jackson take. Add a little southern twang to it. I've got the Make America Great Again looking sunglasses on as well. You know, I look like I'm effusing racism. I should have worn a Celtics jersey to really like get into the character for it. What do you think?
The Sonics jersey and then also doing a southern voice, I think will throw some people.
Right. But we're just gonna put it on social media and we're gonna see what Ravens fans do because they've been on my ass over the last couple of days.
Oh, yeah, because you think he sucks, yeah.
I don't think Lamar Jackson sucks, but now I feel like I'm just going to lean into it. Even though I love Lamar Jackson, he's been one of my favorite players since he was playing.
I do wonder if the Chiefs win, what the Lamar Jackson narrative is going to be. Because
it's coming too. And it's unfortunate because Mahomes just beats everybody.
Yeah. Or is he going to get the Josh Allen? I still think he's better than Patrick Mahomes love that Josh Allen sometimes gets.
I mean, from some people, he might. But if he was, this would it be if he was going up against, let's be honest, because there is definitely a racial component to the most dedicated Lamar Jackson supporters, right? I think there is. And hey, whatever. I like Lamar Jackson, truly. But if it was Lamar Jackson losing to Josh Allen or something like that, like, yeah, I think there would be more of a pushback. Where with Mahomes, everyone's just like, yeah, he's the GOAT.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, or at least he's the GOAT right now. You know, respect Tom right. Brady, Paul.
Well, that's true. But the funny thing about the word GOAT, Sean, is that greatest of all time,
yeah, everyone's the GOAT,
actually just means greatest at this minute right now.
Or no, it doesn't even mean that. It just means I like this person. Right. It just means, you know, Paul George won the GOATs.
It used to mean that you sucked. If you were the GOAT, yeah, you were the reason a team lost. It's funny how that has just transformed over the last, honestly, like 20 years or so. Yeah, growing up, GOAT was you effed up, bro.
It is funny that it's just an acronym. Like, yeah. It is just an acronym that's like, all right, I guess I don't think acronyms are ones you pronounce. I forgot what the word is for the acronyms that you pronounce. But anyway, yeah, it is such a weird thing that now I feel like it's kind of died down. I feel like a few years ago it was all GOAT this, GOAT that.
Yes.
Especially, I guess it was just when Tom Brady was really in the mix where it was just all GOAT. Put a goat head on Tom Brady's body.
Have a picture of Tom Brady modeling, holding a goat.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes.
Man, that picture's over the top of my bed.
Also,
what?
Also, when LeBron was making the finals, I feel like we got a lot of goat stuff out of
him. A lot of him, right.
Yeah. So
Michael Jordan not called the goat that much, but these days, Tom Brady and LeBron get called goat the most.
Yeah. I think Jordan still gets it.
But it's not as much as he would have had Michael Jordan come up during this.
Oh, yeah. He just never gets. I mean, he doesn't win it. He hasn't won a basketball game in 20 years.
Right. Great point. Great Loser. Point. It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Morris Ramirez asks, what's up with the Sonics jersey? Sorry, I identify as Gary Payton, and the Rockets sucked last night. So I'm wearing solidarity with the PNW today because the PNW took our beloved Rockets down. And, you know, sometimes you just got to give a shout out to the Pacific Northwest.
I know you weren't there when the Sonics were in Seattle, famously.
Correct.
You were only there like 2 years ago.
2 years, yes.
Is there a Blazers-Sonics rivalry?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not an intense one. Because the Blazers have largely sucked for most of their history.
And the Sonics haven't existed for 15 years.
Exactly. I think if it came back, it would be good. I don't think it would be great. Because I think for Rockets fans, like Rockets-Sonics in the playoffs, Rockets-Jazz. Yeah. For the Sonics, it's Sonics-Jazz. What a surprise. It's almost always the Jazz, the Lakers, for every single team in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I mean, basketball rivalries are more about who you play,
right?
And specifically at a specific time, who you play. So that's why I was wondering if like there was a lot of Blazers fan, like when the Sonics left Seattle, are there
people
some
just stopped
Blazers
caring
fans?
About basketball altogether, right? So that's the way that it goes.
Okay,
but with conference championship this weekend, I have a question for you guys on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Also, ESPN Houston on YouTube. What bandwagon are you jumping on this weekend as somebody living in Houston? Hopefully a Houston Texans fan. What bandwagon are you jumping on? I gotta say, I've said this before, I'll continue to say it. Bandwagoning should not be shamed the way that it is in sports. It shouldn't. Now, if you're doing it a lot, I can understand somebody calling out your character or something like that. But professional sports teams are corporations.
sometimes run by bozo billionaires. If that corporation or product sucks, you're supposed to remain blindly loyal to it? I mean, it would be like driving a car that constantly has recalls and saying, no, I'm just going to keep on buying this car. And then next thing you know, you're driving, all of a sudden, oh no, honey, we're driving off a cliff, and the whole family's dead, you know? But you were loyal. And it's funny that today that we have so many people that get mad at people who choose to jump on another team's bandwagon. I mean, don't 50% of marriages end in divorce? So you're willing to leave your wife and possibly ruin your kids' lives, but the New York Jets, you're not going to leave them. Just think about it from those two perspectives. And I think it'll give you a whole new way to look at the idea of bandwagoning. And look, you can bet on sports. Some people do to keep their interest. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. How about that? Nice plug. If you ever want to gamble on sports. But for me, I like to pick a team to root for. Even if there are just four teams left and I have reasons to maybe not like any of them. So what bandwagon am I jumping on? The easy one for all of us is the Detroit Lions. The Lions have had a miserable existence. Their fans don't even know what they're doing with their hands being in the playoffs this far. I heard somebody, an NFL reporter, who went to go watch a Lions game with a Lions fan, NFL reporter. They watched it at a bar, and Lions fans just kept on chanting playoffs because they didn't know what to do. Like, they're very cute and adorable, Lions fans. So you want Lions fans to win. That is the easy choice. But I would say that of all of the entities in these playoffs, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, juggernaut. Lamar Jackson, but also the Ravens defense. And Kyle Shanahan and all those 49ers weapons, they're probably the ones that of the four that are likely to win the Super Bowl right now, the least likely. But the other three aren't exactly the most fun teams to choose. If you choose the Chiefs, you're cheating. You can't jump on the Chiefs bandwagon at this point. You better have already done it.
You have to be a Texas Tech grad, I think.
Yeah, that's a great point, Sean.
Or a Taylor Swift fan.
That, I guess, you can also add in. Look, there are a lot more Chiefs fans now because of Taylor Swift. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So if you identify as a Swiftie, or if you want to be like the Swifties, I mean, you could jump on the Chiefs bandwagon. Then you've got the Baltimore Ravens. I'll be honest. I want to jump on the Ravens bandwagon, but there's too much bad blood between my Patriots and the Ravens from back in the day for me to do it, even though I like Lamar Jackson. And on top of that, there's too many Ravens fans in my mentions that don't understand that I'm kind of messing around by saying, like, CJ Stroud actually was a better passer than Lamar Jackson on Saturday. But, I mean, he did throw for more yards, like 50 more yards. Lamar Jackson ran for 100 yards. Maybe he should play another position.
No sacks either.
That's true. Lamar Jackson, 3 sacks.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Do some running, buddy.
Couldn't even adjust to D'Amico Ryan's blitzes, which were every single play. Huh. What would Patrick Mahomes do? What would Tom Brady do? Interesting.
What would Josh Allen do?
Great point. Now, one last thing. One last team. The San Francisco 49ers. Here's why I don't want to jump on the 49ers bandwagon. 49ers fans are sneakily the worst. Now, I know this having lived on the West Coast for a little bit of time, going back to me wearing this Supersonics jersey right now. San Francisco 49ers fans are low-key a-holes. They are. But the problem is, they have been so bad for much of the last 20 years that they've become very, very quiet. A little blip on the radar with the Jim Harbaugh years, right? And now, very quiet because they're going to Super Bowls with Jimmy Garoppolo. They're hoping for Brock Purdy's to lead them all the way. Like, they're quiet. But 49ers are very, very underrated, the worst. So, in terms of bandwagons to jump on, I believe, Sean Mapes, you will also be jumping on the Lions bandwagon, right?
Yeah, they're the easiest one to jump on because they're just not just historic underdogs, but it feels like underdogs of the four teams remaining here in 2024.
Yes, 100%. So, one, Lions. Easy, the number one choice.
Dan Campbell.
Number two, I don't want to do it, but number two, Ravens. Three, 49ers. Four, Chiefs. Because the Chiefs is cheating.
Yeah. I mean, you'll probably hate this, but they're kind of in the Patriots zone in whichever one of the Patriots runs you want to choose, where they've made six straight AFC title games. The Patriots obviously made eight, I want to say, towards the tail end of Brady's time there. So they are in that point of like, yeah, they're always here. I would just like it to be someone else's turn.
Yeah.
I don't distinctly dislike the Chiefs. It's just, I don't know, give me Lamar.
What bandwagon are you jumping on? 713-780-3776 to call and to text. And we also continue our Astros countdown to pitchers and catchers reporting with, one, a controversial clip of audio on our show yesterday. Two, an update on the always, what the hell's going on, injury status of one Astro. Stick around.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
What bandwagon you jumping on for conference championship weekend in the NFL? Some comments on our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston. Ev HTX says the Lions, because they're the king of the jungle. He believes that Ravens are a nasty bird. Now, Ravens are very smart. I don't know how many people have seen videos of Ravens, and I don't know what the difference between a raven and a crow is, but I've seen videos where Ravens have gotten two cats to fight one another just by flying in a circle and nipping one on the tail and then nipping the other on the tail. I mean, it's brilliant stuff.
Yeah, there's the stories of ravens picking up like nuts that are hard to crack, flying them over a road and dropping it and letting cars drive over it to crack the nuts.
Ballsy.
Yeah. Also, for the animal kingdom, pretty genius stuff.
Yeah. Honestly, of all of the mascots left, if you're, you know, someone who picks based off of that, if you pick Chiefs, I mean, you're racist.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Or paint your face like a little kid.
Even me. I'm 1% Mi'kmaq Indian. That's an Algonquin tribe that is from Prince Edward Island. When my family, my ancestors helped settle Prince Edward Island back in the, like, 1500s or 1600s, yeah. Like, may have been a little controversial marriages going on. Listen, you can't control the past. But the 49ers, every 49er, for the most part, people that rushed out to the West Coast in search of gold, was a loser. Like, definitively was a loser. No one struck gold. No one. And the people who did strike gold while they were doing their prospecting and stuff, like, they were going to have somebody probably cap them in the back of the head, and then a railroad would steal their land. Yeah. And next thing you know, everybody was out there destitute, just working on the railroad all the live long day.
That's a good song. I just put it together, or I'm still kind of working on it, but was panning for gold in the 1849ers, was that basically the equivalent of cryptocurrency in 2020
yes.
and 2021? Like, isn't that the same thing?
The exact same thing, except for
you had to
move, like, thousands of miles west, and
you might get Donner, like, partied. Yeah,
you either could get dysentery or killed by Comanches on the way. So you did all this to get out to the west, only to find no gold. I'll give them credit; like, they tried hard.
Yeah, they definitely have more dog in them than crypto guys. But yeah, okay.
And if we're talking about lions too, like, male lions, I mean, low key suck because they don't do anything. They're lazy,
misogynist,
100% misogynist. Yeah. All right, so who are you jumping on? A texter says, this is Hawk Lee Dan. I'm jumping on the Lions bandwagon because they've been in the basement for so many years. I would love to see those terrible owners lift up the trophy and say, this one's for Barry. Well, better them say that than what their ancestor, or great-grandfather, the original Ford, would say. Do you know who, he would dedicate
Henry
the trophy
Ford?
To?
Oh, I know he was a big fan of some certain...
He was a...
Certain dictators in the 1930s.
He was a massive fan of Hitler and wrote an anti-Jewish piece of propaganda that he did not sign by his name in the 1930s. It's really funny how so many car corporations are either ex-Nazi or have some, real Nazi sympathizing...
Or love them.
Right.
They either made cars for Nazis or they idolized them.
Exactly. Right.
Or they're Japanese cars.
Hitler had a giant portrait of Henry Ford in his Munich office. Not kidding. That is historical fact. Another texter, go Ravens. I'd rather listen to John McClane's podcast than see Taylor Swift, Brittany Mahomes, and Jackson Mahomes during the Super Bowl.
You know what? That touches on a good point. The second part does is the you have to keep in mind the Super Bowl week, like the lead up week,
boy.
And all the stories from that. I think I would prefer. I'd prefer anything over. Oh my God, is Taylor Swift going to be at the game? Oh my God, what is not interested?
Yeah,
I think the Ravens would have to be the AFC choice based on that alone.
I agree.
And then same thing in the NFC, or a different version of the same thing in the NFC, where I'd rather it be, hey, Lions, and just have different Lions fans crying on camera about how much it means to them, as opposed to, does this mean Brock Purdy is awesome? All the haters said Brock Purdy couldn't do it. Now look at him. that week is going to suck.
More texts about what bandwagons people are jumping on. From the 832, the Lions, a girl I'm trying to hook up with is a diehard Detroit fan. Smart play.
Great, great.
And that's you're the best, right. They have no idea what to do with their hands. That is TMI, sir. That is TMI.
But that's the best reason we've gotten so far.
He says they have a fight song, so that's I agree. From the 618, I bandwagon the Ravens. I like rooting for the team that beats my team. Makes me feel better for some reason. I actually hate that, but I understand that line of thinking. You're not alone in thinking that way. I hate that line
of
thinking.
Yeah, not for me, but I get it.
It'd be like rooting for the Mongols after they just destroyed your village. It'd be like, I hope this empire keeps going. The Nazis just overran our village. You know what? Let's see how much further it goes. There's violence versus playing a game, but I don't get it.
I hope we got beat by winners. I hope we got conquered by winners.
Right. Post-Revolutionary War in an alternative universe where the English win. I hope that the English get their manifest destiny. I can't wait to drink tea for my ancestors to drink tea hundreds of years from now, little bitches.
I mean, a lot of Native American talk on this segment, but I don't think
history.
I don't think they're rooting for. I don't think they're rooting for the settlers.
Definitely not.
Afterwards, I don't think they're
definitely
rooting for
not 100%. Paul Camacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll push our Astros countdown a little bit further, because do you really want to hear Lance McCullers talking about the latest in his rehab process? You probably don't. Up next, we got the 10-minute drill. Guess what? A Houston Texan is finally being recognized, and the Chargers have themselves a head coach. First, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You can jump on the bandwagon for all of these games this weekend. You could do that, or you can make the game interesting by just going there and gambling. So you got the two conference championship games, and tomorrow we're going to have some fun prop bets for you in those games that are more likely to get you paid than the actual game itself. But yesterday we told you that the Ravens, 3.5-point favorites on the Kansas City Chiefs. Does seem like a lot, even though the Ravens are at home. But this one is really a lot. The 49ers don't have Debo Samuel. Yet, we could see them have Debo Samuel on the field. But with that injury that he suffered this past weekend, do you expect him out there? He wasn't at practice yesterday? I don't know. The Lions are 7-point dogs against Brock Purdy, who has not looked good. I don't know that the Lions are going to win. 7 is a lot, though, for the way that the 49ers have been playing of late. I mean, they got their doors blown off by Baltimore not too long ago as well. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. If you want to bet on the conference championship games, they got an awesome deposit bonus. If you use that promo code, you can refer a friend, get another bonus. And on top of that, you can also play blackjack, casino games as well. MyBookie.ag, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Reasons to jump on bandwagons for conference championship weekend. Jared Goff's pretty likable. Do I base that mostly off of his interviews with Pardon My Take? Yes. But during this visit with The Ticket in Detroit, which is one of the most successful sports radio stations in the country, shout out to them. Jared Goff was asked about what fuels him. He had a great answer.
Hey, does bulletin board material matter to you guys at all?
It depends what it is. What do you got?
Skip Bayless, after your game, tweeted out the following.
No, I don't care about anything he says. You can stop now. That's
I love it.
No. Yeah.
No oxygen. No oxygen.
Yeah, no. Anything those guys say on daytime TV, you can skip over that.
Wow. All daytime television, not just Skip Bayless. I would say I would listen to Stephen A. Smith, but Sean and I, we put the Pat McAfee show on mute on in the bullpen, the area where we prep after the show, and we just talk about the show while it's on mute. So we have no idea what is actually said. I think I'd like Pat McAfee, honestly. I feel like there's way too many people on that show.
Yeah.
It's the Pat McAfee show, but here's AJ Hawk's face, and here's five other co-hosts, and then there's four producers that also speak. Just a lot of voices.
Yeah. Darius Butler's there.
Sometimes it's Chuck Pagano.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of people. And then they have a guest.
Exactly. It's a little confusing. Would I listen to Chris Mad Dog Russo? No, not anymore after he wussed out on that bet.
Yeah, the
where he said he would
Diamondbacks.
Go, yeah. Right. Both he wussed out twice on Diamondback bets, and you're the baseball guy. Sorry. You got to keep the game alive. He ain't doing that. Who else on daytime TV?
Notice that he didn't say daytime radio. So we're good.
That's really
good. He values our opinion.
Honestly, I mean, our show is pretty damn good. Yeah. I feel like we are at least more fun than the majority of midday television shows. Now, yeah. I gotta say, my girl Kmart, who apparently is named Kmart, when she's on
Kimberly Martin
talking about the Cowboys culture issues yesterday, I mean, that made me sit up and watch. I like Nick Wright because he's a friend. I'd watch Nick Wright's show.
Yeah, and I also feel like he's good. He's a good person to have as a hater, and I don't say that with any disrespect to Nick Wright. It's just he's so dedicated to his cause, whether that be the Chiefs, whether that be LeBron, whatever,
right,
whatever his cause is, that he will always find something to dig up on you. So it's a little bit of like I always know I can depend on one hater, Nick Wright.
Yeah,
and I like the Bills. The Bills can have endless amount of bulletin board material.
Just from Nick.
Just from Nick.
Right. 100%. So, yeah, most of the Speak for Your Pizza television shows, I would imagine, are shows that are ignored by
Emmanuel Acho. Do you ignore that one?
I mean, I saw Emmanuel Acho's book on display at an airport when I was flying back from a wedding in Puerto Rico.
That must do numbers.
And the hangover that I had just shook off came back. And I got COVID. Did I get it then?
From the book?
I think it made my immune system just die for a second. And then I got COVID. So did Emmanuel Acho give me COVID? I can't say. I'm just telling you what I saw and what happened.
Yeah,
continuing
cause and effect.
To go around the NFL. Guess what, guys? Will Anderson is a Pro Bowler because Max Crosby of the Las Vegas Raiders is not attending the Pro Bowl. Wait, it's the Pro Bowl games, which I will be watching absolutely zero of and be taking the Friday before off because I do not want to mention that game ever again. But Will Anderson, Pro Bowler. How about that? CJ Stroud will probably end up being a Pro Bowler as well. Does it count when you're a Pro Bowl alternate? I suppose when the check's clear, yes, it does. But when it comes to who is and who isn't, Pro Bowl's dumb. All-Pro is the only one that really matters, I think. And even that one is getting a little bit weird because a lot of guys get it based off of name brand recognition. I would point to guy wearing a Seattle Sonics jersey right now, guy who has paid attention to the Seattle Seahawks. Bobby Wagner being a second-team All-Pro is proof that people just are like, oh, yeah, Bobby Wagner, just give it to him.
Yeah, it does. Especially, I feel like especially defense and offensive line, that's where you get the like reputation vote. It's a little bit like the all defense teams in the NBA, where it's like you'll just get a couple reputation. If you're a good defender when you come into the league, you'll get like 3 years of being a bad defender where you're still on the all defense team or thought of as a good defender. So, yeah, I mean, it's huge for Will Anderson though to be able to play dodgeball and flag football with some of the
NFL's best players.
He gets
injured, I will be
players.
Very upset.
Someone's going to get hurt.
Only bad things can happen at this
playing
thing.
Flag football.
I think Myles Garrett got hurt playing last year. I could be wrong on that front, but it was like a minor injury.
I thought he was in the Celebrity All-Star Game.
Whatever it was.
Forgot what it was. But
Myles
yeah.
Garrett got hurt in some sort of Celebrity All-Star thing in the last couple of years. Anyway, continuing. Jim Harbaugh, officially the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, leaves Michigan after winning a national title. Very curious as to what the NFL does, because the NFL, remember, threatened a suspension for Jim Harbaugh for what allegedly happened at Michigan, if the suspension wasn't long enough, at Michigan. I'm very curious as to how they handle this, because they did suspend Jim Tressel when he joined the NFL as just a minor assistant with the Indianapolis Colts not that long ago.
It would be so stupid if they did that. You
I
know why?
I think it would be funny, though.
It would be funny.
I'm rooting for the chaos.
And they go, like, the Chargers go 0-4 without Jim Harbaugh, and then they go 11-1 with him.
Watch them win games with Jim Harbaugh and lose them when he's back. Harbaugh,
start
lose
4-0.
When he's back.
Yeah.
Even better. I like that.
Also, Antonio Pierce was a assistant coach on Arizona State before he joined the Raiders. And he, like, Arizona State also got, like, bowl banned and committed recruiting violations. And guess who wasn't suspended at all for any of it? Antonio Pierce in the NFL.
Hell yeah! Good for him.
I just like the fact that because he came in, I think, he was the linebackers coach, defensive coordinator?
Something like
for
that.
For the Raiders. So it, like, flew a little bit under. Also, it's Arizona State.
Right. Party school.
Yeah. Their football team committing violations. Everyone reads that and goes, yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Honestly, they would have the best violations, I would think. That is a talented university.
Rick
Not
Pitino.
On the field.
Rick Pitino would have number one recruiting classes every year.
Oh, 100%.
Remember the
Louisville? What a place. We're not even talking about Rick Pitino cheating on his wife in an Italian diner. Yeah. Bottle of red.
It was only 15 seconds, all right?
Bottle of white. Oh, no. I thought I was going to last all night. I got it all over your dress.
Nick Sirianni,
I made myself a mess. Great Billy Joel song. All right, fine. Nick Sirianni. He is still the Eagles head coach. He believes hiring a new offensive coordinator will make their offense less stale. Two of the guys he has interviewed, Jerod Johnson, Houston Texans quarterback coach, and the sexy man himself, I can say that, Cliff Kingsbury. Jalen Hurts, meanwhile, might not be happy about the firing of his offensive coordinator, Brian Johnson, and per a very weird and vague report, has been very standoffish this year in the Eagles locker room. Huh. Interesting. Also, Bobby Slowick, Texans offensive coordinator, is scheduled to have a second interview with the Falcons today. More coaching interview news. Mike Vrabel interviewed with the Atlanta Falcons, who are just interviewing everybody. How have they not interviewed us?
I put zero stock in who the Falcons are interviewing because, yes, they've interviewed the entire NFL.
I took the Chiefs to a Super Bowl in Madden with Terrell Pryor at quarterback. So, why am I not getting an interview request by the Falcons?
Young offensive mind.
Very young. Very crazy. Mike Vrabel also interviewed with the Carolina Panthers. I want that to happen. Mike Vrabel versus control freak David Tepper. Would Vrabel throw Tepper out a window? Would he go defenestration of Prague 1, 2, and 3?
He would definitely set the all-time record for saying "shut the bleep up" to an owner.
Yeah,
he would whatever the record is. He would a head coach telling his owner to leave me alone and shut up. He would break the record.
If you're Tepper, I think you have to hire Vrabel mainly because everyone thinks you're a control freak. And if you hire Vrabel, people will think that you're not the most control freak, and that you're maybe learning.
If you don't fire him after 1 year. If you hire Mike Vrabel and let him coach at least 3 or 4 years,
yeah,
then you will not get hit with control freak.
That's fair.
Oh. And your team will be better.
It will be better. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are 18 days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting. We will continue our countdown with some interesting news on a Houston Astro player and his status for this coming season. And what bandwagon are you jumping on for conference championship weekend? You tell us. I know the bandwagon I'm jumping on. It's a bandwagon I jumped on in the middle of our watching the Houston football team live stream and then post-game show. It's Pendleton Whiskey. Guys, Pendleton Whiskey, founded at the Pendleton Roundup, one of the oldest rodeos in North America, is something that honors the enduring legacy of the American West. It's also the official whiskey of the PBR Tour, which is coming to town tomorrow and Saturday. You can go to PBR.com if you still want to get tickets for that. Get yourself ready for the H-Town Rodeo. Guys, Pendleton Whiskey is cut with glacier-fed spring water from Oregon's Mount Hood for an uncommonly smooth, rich taste and complex flavor thanks to being barrel-aged in American oak. Pendleton Whiskey, it carries the legacy of the American cowboy, which is forged into every single bottle, along with true Western tradition, a heritage that inspires us to live boldly, never lose sight of the values we believe in, and taste the moment wherever we may be. This stuff is great, guys. It's smooth. It's refreshing. It's great stuff. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We were talking about television of the sports talking head variant. And Key from LA says, we watch First Take for Molly. Sir, that is sexist. That is sexist. Hashtag canceled. Hashtag disavowed. Okay. Unless you're talking about her opinions. But that's got to be the worst job. It really has to be the worst job. People got on Carissa Thompson's case for saying that she made up the occasional sideline report. But I look at it through this prism. If you're Carissa Thompson, like the majority, I would imagine, of women who get into sports broadcasting would like to do more than sideline reporting, which is a thankless job. The coaches don't want to do it. You're on for 5 seconds. You barely get to talk. You want to host. You want to actually talk a lot. And if you're Molly or insert random woman who is the, I guess, system / game manager quarterback for a hot take show, like, it sucks. You just say, all right, next topic.
Brock Purdy.
Right.
You're Brock Purdy.
Not even Brock Purdy, Sean. We're lower than that.
Oh, no. Jimmy G?
Lower than that. Well, I guess it would make sense because Jimmy G's hot. Yeah. So, I feel bad for women who are in that spot because I actually know, like, a couple of ladies who are very good at talking sports. That sounds condescending and perhaps patronizing, but, like, one of my good friends in Seattle, Stacey Rush, she's awesome. Awesome at it. But generally, in this industry, you are kind of like not able to get over a certain point. And for some, you're stuck like sitting in the middle of a scream for your pizza show. That sucks.
The Undisputed takes it to another level because at least Molly is on the desk with Stephen A. and whoever he's debating.
Right. The Undisputed person, we don't even know where they are.
They're off to the side and they're
not even in the same room.
Yeah. They pop them in like she's AJ Hawk for Pat McAfee. She asks her question, and then unlike Pat McAfee, they take her away when she's not talking.
Right.
It's
right.
Like literally just parachute. She could pre-record them. Like it's, she doesn't interact with the show at all.
We might be getting a little too inside sports media here, but those shows are interesting because the only time I ever see them are on mute in the bullpen here or on mute at my gym. That is it.
Gym, airports.
Pretty much it.
Food court in almost, college.
Almost always yeah. on mute.
Yeah.
Interesting strategy. Paul Gallant Show. It's time to continue our countdown to Astros pitchers and catchers reporting. Give me that trombone!
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
The Athletics' Chandler Rome joined us on yesterday's show. And he made some waves with a comment that I have cut down for the sake of time about someone who may not have actually weighed in on his feelings about the Astros signing Josh Hader for 5 years and $95 million. You give Josh Hader that kind of money, probably a safe assumption to believe that he will be the closer. Lots of discussion about how the Astros talked to Ryan Presley about this move. No one has their feelings hurt.
Well, it's kind of funny, Paul. You mentioned all those quotes. Who haven't you seen quotes from?
Ryan Presley.
Correct. Everyone is saying he's on board, but I think until he actually speaks, Ryan Presley, by all accounts, he is a consummate professional, team-first guy. I don't think this is going to be a big deal, but he's a human being. You like to feel appreciated. I think Ryan Presley, since he became the closer in 2021, has really gone underappreciated. I mean, this is an elite closer. This is an elite reliever. One of the best postseason relievers in baseball history. Maybe feel slighted, feel underappreciated. I don't think the Astros signed Josh Hader because of that. I think they signed Josh Hader to make the team better.
One, Chandler wouldn't say that without a reason to say that. So, something to keep in mind. There's always ego and hurt feelings when it comes to specific titles. Who's shortstop on a baseball team? Who's the de facto closer? And of course, it's also something that you can get over that won't be an issue at all in the clubhouse over the course of the year. I thought what Chandler said that was most interesting there is the way that people look at Ryan Presley. Is Presley underappreciated? Now, he's got that ridiculous buildup for when he comes out of the bullpen where everyone starts lighting their cell phones as they play Johnny Cash as he slowly walks out. I don't know if Billy Wagner had an entrance like that or Mariano Rivera getting Metallica's Enter the Sandman when he came in or an Edwin Diaz playing the trumpet or something like that. I really do not know what Wagner's entrance was. But Chandler said, yeah, this is probably the second best reliever in Astros history behind Billy Wagner. And because of his postseason success, I guess you could argue he's been better. Yeah, I think it's fair to say he's been underappreciated. I think it's also fair to say at the exact same time that I'm not sure Presley is going to be the same dominant reliever that he's been recently in years to come, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Hader, I think Josh Hader's 29 or 30, and Ryan Presley's 34 or 35. So, that you know, that's just part of it is the aging curve you expect these guys to be on. But as far as him being underappreciated, I do think he is. Because, just because he has the nickname Ryan Stressley, and he is a guy who is literally, I think he's 24 for 24 in postseason save attempts.
Really?
Yes.
That's insane.
So it's like people complain about it being stressful, but not about it. Like the actual results, like no one thinks about him as, you know, having like a one something ERA in the postseason.
Baseball casuals like myself, I think we all believe that relievers are stressful because you're expecting them to come in and for everything to be automatic, which is an unfair expectation.
Yeah, it's you know, you could have nine straight clean ones, and then on the 10th one, if you give up one run, it's like, oh my, the next time that guy comes in, you're like, oh my God, this
guy's in? And look, I mean, Montero had a good 2022. The contract, good for him getting that contract. Last year, good God. And there would be stretches, though, where people like you, Sean, and like me would be like, oh, well, he's put a couple together. Maybe it's back on track. And then there's others who would be like, oh, this is never going to last. And it's funny because this is something we only do with relievers. And I really do think that every single fan base is secretly terrified of their own bullpen.
Unless you literally have Mariano Rivera. Like, only Mariano Rivera, I think, gets the, or got.
And even then, the Red Sox beat him in 04, like twice.
Yeah. Yeah. It is the most thankless job in sports, probably. Like, especially if you're not the closer. If you're the seventh, eighth inning guy, that is the most thankless job because all you can do is blow it. It's the only, and then you don't get credit with the save.
By the way, interesting to note, and guys, I'm sorry, I wasn't here for Billy Wagner. Enter the Sandman. Billy Wagner had it first, and Mariano Rivera took it.
Ooh,
is that true?
I don't know. Now
I'm wondering if Mariano Rivera had Enter the Sandman.
Yeah.
Man, he just ripped it straight off of Billy Wagner. Oh, boy.
Surprised Lars Ulrich didn't sue him.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about stealing signs. Well, why aren't we talking about Mariano Rivera stealing Billy Wagner's entrance music, huh? Why aren't we doing that? I wonder what... someone texted in, Brad Lidge had a good intro. This is on the
oh,
Twitch.
Yeah, they'll do the lights out.
Oh,
lights out Lidge.
That's nice. Yeah. Did Chad Qualls have...
Probably not.
Entrance... How about Ken Giles? No?
It was this. It was just a trumpet.
But played by a student. One last thing. As we continue our countdown to Astros pitchers and catchers reporting, we are 18 days away. Shout out to former Astros manager Art Howe, who also played for the Astros from 76 to 82. 269, 39 homers, 266 RBIs. Had a big home run and a one-game playoff. For the Dodgers, against the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. Didn't get stabbed on the way out, too. Credit to him. In 1980, here is Lance McCullers talking about his rehab from injury.
I'm back to about 80-ish feet throwing. Throwing multiple times a week. Feel really good. We all want it to go faster than it's going. But that's just the nature of, I guess, rehab. You know, last year before I had surgery, I think I was hopeful that I'd be back sometime in the April, May. But when I actually had the surgery was a little more extensive than we had thought. We're hoping, I think my goal would probably be to at least be in the conversation for a summer rehab schedule and then, get back here at Minute Maid.
There you go. That's Lance McCullers. Hopefully back by the All-Star break. Hopefully. I like Lance McCullers a lot. I think he gets a lot of grief, too. That's unfair. He didn't sign himself to that contract. The Astros gave him that contract. It's one of the worst contracts that they have given out. I'm happy McCullers got that money. I like that we every now and then hear McCullers talking a little bit of bleep. And I think that he's going to be very good in media eventually whenever he's done playing. I know that because we used to do, when I was over on the flagship, we used to have him on for like 30, 40 minutes in the studio. Me, Mike, and Seth, we would have him on. And he was great. I liked him. Liked talking with him, too. It just sucks that these injuries keep popping up. And it doesn't feel like it's going away anytime soon. And now you're at the point where, we're talking about, is Lance McCullers going to be back this year? You almost expect him not to. We're also talking about Forrest Whitley being a bullpen arm this coming year because he threw 98 in a bullpen session. Like, that's going to finally happen. Forrest Whitley. How long have we been saying Forrest Whitley's coming up through the pipeline? Feels like we've been saying that since 2013.
Yeah.
Like, since before they won a World Series.
It hasn't been that long, but I distinctly remember him being like a top prospect who got popped for PEDs. Or no, was it PED? Or no, it was like some sort of amphetamine thing. It was like some whatever. He said he had to make a long road trip and he had to stay awake. And so he took like some gas station speed, basically.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
And he got popped for it. And I think that happened when I was in college. That happened like 2017.
It did happen a while
that
ago.
That was so long ago.
Like, I was still in Houston when it happened, and it feels like it was so long ago. It feels like it was during 2016 or something like that. Yeah. A couple of comments. Someone says, Chad Qualls, his intro should have been Failure by Breaking Benjamin. Yeah. Junior Broncos says that Roberto Osuna came out to smack my bitch up. That did not happen. That did not happen. Wait, good God.
Why'd you read that? You knew that was misinformation. You just Ron Burgundy that?
I've actually met Junior Broncos, but if I hadn't met Junior Broncos, I would wonder if that was Brandon Taubman making that comment.
What? It's his type of humor.
I know Brandon Taubman. I had dinner with him once.
Wow.
Yeah. Thought that would be the last time I heard Brandon Taubman's name, that's for sure. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A couple of people are talking about what your intro song would be if you were coming out of the bullpen. I guess if you want to do that, you can. Up next, man, I love basketball. I love basketball more than I love baseball. But basketball players make it so hard to root for them. Two examples of that from yesterday. Next, Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch.